Happy holidays! Jingle bell, jingle bell. Does this help?
Really? This is how we're opening this?
Yeah.
As much as Christmas. I think, I know that our listeners do come and want to hear our voices. I don't know if they're up for listening to us, you know, sing.
Excuse me, I'm a very good singer.
I said us together. I mean, as a unit, we have to think of some of the parts, not just your individual greatness.
Remarked about it.
Yeah, but then I would have to join on, right? You can't sit out a jingle bell, so you become the Grinch. The person that doesn't sing jingle bells.
That was the intention.
Of portraying me as the Grinch of this show?
Yeah. Okay. No? You want to be Santa?
I'm really glad that I chose not, like, I was comfortable enough to not wear my green hoodie, otherwise this would have just landed very badly for me.
Okay, I'll be the Grinch. I like Grinch better than Santa, by the way. He has a personality. Santa is predictable and fat and old.
Did you see, by the way, there's a meme going around of this very, like, this old guy with a long beard, but very slim and fit. And he's like, you know, this is what happens after Santa joins the plant-based diet.
No, I haven't.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Except Chirag.
So, welcome to the... sort of our December episode of the last episode of 2020, which has been a fabulous year for everybody.
Let's close the shitty year episode.
Oh my God.
Basically.
I mean, you know, there are moments when I wake up and I look at the, like, I look at the calendar and I'm like, how is it the 20th or 21st of December or whatever? Or how is it almost Christmas? And then there's another part of me that is like, this is over? Like, is it, can, what? It's so weird. This year has been a time warp.
For me, it's mostly the second part. Every day, I'm just like, how the hell is 2020 over already? Yeah. It just started. Because if you remember, it was my real birthday in 2020.
I know. February. And that doesn't feel like it was that long ago somehow.
That was 10 months ago. Nice big party where I don't know how many people would have gotten COVID without noticing.
Oh, dear God. I don't think we should.
I did.
What do you mean you did?
I got a very bad flu after that party.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you were really sick, right?
Now I look back, I feel like that was COVID.
Maybe. Anyway, let's not diagnose ourselves here. But yeah, I mean, it was a fun party, though. We had this amazing, what was it, a tofu-based cheesecake, I think? I don't really know, but it was a delicious cheesecake. Oh, my God.
The chocolate dripping everywhere, man. That was so good. What about that?
Yeah. So that was the last hurrah before a big change for you this year as well, which also obviously impacted the two vegans who are now international because we have one person based in Dubai and the other one based in... I'm passing the lead to you here.
Oh, we don't have to do this every time. I think people just know I live in Amsterdam. It's not like Amsterdam every time.
Why not?
Like, she's too excited.
Maybe there's a new listener and they, you know, they don't know yet.
If it's a new listener, then I don't think they care that I used to live in Dubai.
Maybe. Okay. Wow, this was well planned. I mean, if anybody had any doubt, this is proof that this is not a scripted show, right? Like, this is a show where we're really genuine and raw with each other. And this is proof of that because sometimes we reach dead ends like this.
Yeah, and I can't believe you guys spend that hour listening to us hoping that this would be a well-done scripted show.
No, come on, well-done and scripted are different things, right? Well, but the point is we're not doing rehearsed, like, opinions. This is actually our genuine, you know, feedback on different things.
Okay, so in case you guys are new to the show, one of the most important things that you need to know about us is that Chirag has no sense of humor. And I, on the other hand, joke about everything. So very often during the show, I'll be cracking a joke and Chirag will just kind of put all fire and then some water on it.
So I think what we wanted to talk about today was kind of, we wanted to, I guess, recap the year a little bit, talk about some interesting happenings that have been going on in the vegan world over the last year.
No, I think it would just be good to kind of reminisce this year that went by super fast. And think of some of the highlights, whether positive or negative, that we experienced. I think it started off with the Australian bushfires. that, well, they were mostly last year, but they kind of trickled down early this year as well.
Yeah.
And all the devastating loss of wildlife, of forests, of environment in general. And just a kind of a reminder to people that factory farming is not just only animal abuse, but it is literally taking away all the green resources of the world on which humans are dependent on.
Yeah, it is the biggest source of deforestation, right? And this is something that it's an odd thing that, like, statistically it's there, the numbers are there, everything is known, and yet it's something that we just do not talk about. In terms of the fact that, like, obviously we talk about deforestation as being such a dangerous thing, and everybody stands up for that, but they don't understand the rate at which deforestation happens, because we need places to feed the animals we want to grow to, you know, feed humans, A. And then B, where there were a lot of reports coming out during those bushfires as well, that, like, one of the bigger reasons for the way it was spreading and stuff is because the tree life, like the plant life, has been impacted there, right? So you have a lot of dead trees, you have a lot of broken ecosystems that have added to why these things have become more and more prevalent with time. And I think it's crazy to me as well that, like, I mean, this year has been crazy in so many ways, and obviously, like, pretty much one piece of news has dominated everything that we've done, you know, especially over the last 8, 9, 10 months. But it's crazy that, like, I mean, some of these news, I mean, we were going through this for this episode as well, like, it just seemed so long ago that it just kind of forgotten that they had even happened, that actually happened this year, which I think is pretty crazy.
The gut-wrenching images of all those kangaroos and all the wildlife that actually caught fire. I'm hoping that it has been an eye-opener for most people to try and understand where their food comes from. And how a lot of things are affected, and we're not just a bunch of people who cry about animal cruelty and who don't understand your idea of circle of life or survival of the fittest. It's just much, much deeper than that, the impact that you have on this planet, because of just based on your taste buds. So I guess that's one of the highlights I wanted to point out, that we had quite in our faces before the pandemic kicked in.
Which, I mean, again, pandemic was something that kind of had already surfaced actually back in November, right? I think the first official case was in November. I mean, you know, there's been tons of reports and things about how, you know, for nearly 3 months, this is something that wasn't effectively disclosed and so on. And so, but all of those, like, those things aside, I think it's also one of those things. And we covered that on our episodes where we talked about COVID and sort of the prevalence and what's been going on, about how this is almost kind of, it's almost payback, right? And I think a lot of the stuff that we see, including even the bushfires to some extent, I mean, if you look at it from a philosophical point of view, being this thing is kind of Mother Nature's kind of, you know, is hurting and bleeding, and it's kind of this really tough situation because we've really, like, gone overboard by any metric that you would see, right? If you look at the, you know, there's a data point every year that comes out that, you know, this is the point at which we've generated more waste than we can recycle or that we can get rid of in a given year. And then this year it happened, I think in September, it was like a month behind because actually everybody had gone into lockdowns and actually were not consuming at the rates and being out and, you know, all of that. Which is what was shocking to me was the fact that, like, holy crap, this actually happens in August every year, right? Like, that's barely halfway through the year, or just over halfway through the year, right? There's like, we produce waste 5 months in the year after that, four months plus after that, that cannot be accounted for, cannot be managed, cannot be anything, right? And that's what we're doing. And every year that number gets smaller and smaller. I mean, this year we see a reset because of the pandemic, not because we decided to step up and actually do something about the waste or about the pollution, about the destruction.
I think then, according to me, a pretty positive highlight was, I don't know if it was this year, I think it was this year, was Joaquin Phoenix's speech at the 2020 Oscars. I think for me, it was such a proud moment Because now here was a celebrity who's actually using his stardom, his celebrity status to put out a real message and not just thank his dogs and his neighbors for where he is. And actually talk about something that, I don't know, kind of is an eye-opener for people to see where we are, where the planet is currently, and that we don't have any more time to waste. And his speech was beautiful. I think he had a few references of his late brother. And I think that speech was phenomenal. I think it was quite a trending topic online for a couple of months. So I think that was beautiful. And also the fact that he's so good looking and he was so good in Joker and that he totally deserved that Oscar.
I think it's
interesting. And his hair is amazing.
I think it's interesting as well. You know, we've covered more than once on the show. Again, you know, this talk about the celebrities, and I want to talk a little bit about that too, because obviously then Miley Cyrus came along later in the year. But one of the things that you know we've often said is, you know, it's amazing that you talk about you have all these platforms, right? I mean, ultimately, when you talk about being an influencer, being someone that influences other people. In reality, I mean, again, you know, we've talked about sort of a couple of years ago, Beyonce going vegan for Coachella and that becoming such a movement, even though she's not vegan, she's not plant-based today, for example. But just in those 2 months, that kind of, you know, it's almost like such a monumental shift that happens just because someone with a platform with millions of followers can stand up and say something strongly and effectively and it gets heard, right? And I think it's really interesting that what he's been doing, obviously, I mean, he's been doing for a while. He's taken every opportunity he can to talk about things like this, which I think in and of itself is quite commendable, because in an age where you see this kind of very wishy-washy attitude come from a lot of people. But then to use a platform like the Oscars, which is, I mean, this is ultimately like it's the award ceremony, right? Like, I mean, anybody could... And we all know these kind of cliques and what these things exist, right? Like he could very easily just not be invited to Oscar awards as a result of something like this, right? That there are consequences to him. And in fact, I assume to some degree he has faced some of them, right? For being such an outspoken person even previously, where he's treated like a little bit of a, oh, you're a little this crazy person, you know, who kind of just goes berserk at these things. So I think it's just even more, I think, compelling that he decided to use a platform like the Oscars, which I think it's not a small feat at all, you know, to stand up for a cause that he genuinely seems to believe in and you know, is still standing about and trying very, very hard to do something about.
This world needs more of Joaquin Phoenix's and Ricky Gervais's, mm-hmm. and less of Miley Cyrus's and Donald Trump's, I guess.
Well,
it's more of a celebrity than anything else.
Well, yeah. I think for those who may not have caught the episode or may not be aware of the news as well, the reason we're referencing Miley Cyrus here is because so she came out as having given up her vegan lifestyle a couple of months ago, and she kind of did it in this sort of whatever way on a podcast, you know, with Joe Rogan, where she kind of like, yeah, I've just given it up. And of course, we'll link to it and you can go listen to the full episode because we've kind of talked about it for about an hour, so we won't get into it all over again. But, you know, one of the things that stood out for us, and it's still a statement, by the way, like whenever her name comes up in conversation or whenever, you know, this, which just happens a lot, right, when you're vegan and you're talking to people, it just really rings me that, you know, someone could say like, yeah, you know, I had to shed a few tears when I ate my first fish. And as if that was okay, or still my favorite line, which is like, you know, don't tell me I don't care for animals. I have some 20 sheep or something in a farm somewhere, which I think is just so fundamentally, it kind of just exposes actually the kind of cognitive dissonance that really exists, right? I mean, and the number of people that will tell you that they're animal lovers, but they, you know, but what they mean actually is like pet lovers, right? And there's this whole dilemma that we talk about pretty often. And I've seen people post a lot of things about how, like, you know, the dog meat festival really upset, the dog festival really upsets them in China, but then they don't mind anything else.
Don't be mean, Chirag. She has brain fog, all right?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. So yeah, so that was another, I think, one of those bigger pieces of news I think we talked about as well.
Okay. What else? Then we had the amazing pandemic creeping into our lives. At this stage, I don't think it's a highlight. I think that it just defined our year.
No, it did. I mean, I still maintain that I think anybody that is doing any kind of person of the year, event of the year, anything. Like if the coronavirus is not that, then, you know, then I don't think you know how to analyze a year. Like it's, there's nothing else that is defined and curtailed and questioned our existence almost than this has, I think, in, at least in our lifetimes.
Yeah, and we all know the negativities of this, so we're not going to harp over it. We've already spoken or dedicated two full episodes about the coronavirus and its relation with veganism, with the planet and its destruction and so on. But one good thing that kind of happened was, even though it wasn't very long lasting, and everyone had these hopes that people are going to come out different from it, more knowledgeable, more aware and more compassionate, did not happen at all.
Well, and that's also, it is something we talked about too on those episodes, but we did.
But one nice thing that naturally happened was because everyone was on a lockdown and indoors, the pollution levels around the world reduced drastically. Mm-hmm. The temperatures corrected themselves minimalistically. There were more animals on the streets than there were people, which was great. The wildlife was now able to come out and just live their lives normally. So I think that was a little bit of a blessing in disguise with this pandemic. Lasted, did not last very long, but at least it was there. And it was good to see how the world can function and restore itself once humans are not around.
Yeah, and I think even from a, I think I'm hopeful that from a mindset perspective, a lot should have changed as well, right? So a lot of we've spoken about this. We've used these examples many times, but this idea of like taking a flight just to take a meeting for a day, you know, kind of lifestyle that we were leading for a very long time. Suddenly, I mean, because we were forced not to be able to do that, now suddenly people are, you know, obviously remote calling and all of this stuff has become so normal for us, right? Today, like 6 months in or 6 months later. Saying that we'll just jump on Zoom or just get on a phone call. It's just the most normalist thing. Like even you're talking like forget intra country or cities or whatever. Like even within Dubai, right? For us here, most people are just like, do you want to just jump on a call? Like why, we don't need to meet about this, right? And this kind of change in mindset. I hope it stays. I mean, I think obviously there's a lot more. We're still not kind of out of this, and there's, you know, I'm sure the next quarter is going to be super interesting in many ways. So we have to see what happens there, but I do question, and we have as well in the past, that can we maintain it? Will we maintain it? Will we get back to our usual convenience, or will we say, hey, you know, we kind of figured out a better, more efficient, more safer way to do this? Let's keep doing that. And I think one of the downsides that came out of all this, of course, and we spoke about this. One of the downsides that came out of this is, as we've seen now, there, you know, so plastic masks, single-use plastic has kind of been going on an up curve suddenly because it's deemed as the safe way to deal with things. You know, the reports of disposable masks and things showing up in the oceans now is starting to gain more prominence. So there's this unfortunate downside that's also happening that I think is something we need to be very, very mindful of. I do feel like the single-use plastic movement, if I have to separate that as an individual thing, took a hit this year, for sure, in so many ways and in almost anywhere in the world, right? I hear our deliveries started getting packed in extra plastic just after sanitizations, you know, and so that's, again, I think one of those unfortunate things. And I still see people, like, preferring disposable masks over cloth masks. Or any kind of recyclable material, right? Like, it's just easy for them to just pick up a mask in the morning and throw it at the end of the day. So this is something I think, you know, I would like to encourage people to try not to do, because there is going to be an impact of this later, even if we don't see it today. That is something I think we can't deviate on that just because we are dealing with this, I think.
I actually see, I don't know if it's a Europe thing, or I see a lot of people use reusable masks rather than disposable masks. I don't see a lot of blues. Okay, firstly, I don't see a lot of masks on people.
Right, that's a different debate.
That's a topic for another day. But whatever I see is mostly reusable stuff. I don't see the whites and the blues, the annoying ones.
Yeah, that's good. So here, I think for me, it's like 9.5 out of 10 is disposable.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, what else do we have?
So there were a couple of smaller pieces of news that we kind of talked about. I think we had, you know, like Roger Federer coming out and launching a, you know, line of vegan footwear, for example, which I thought was interesting again. And to some level, I think any non-food related news is always interesting to me because it's kind of just a nice reminder that, hey, veganism is about other things too, not just what you eat. So it was nice to see. And not just, I mean, he did, of course, a more formal launch, but we've seen a lot of little vendors like attempt to do, as we were just talking about, like recycling masks, reusable masks, fashionable masks that are reusable, recyclable, as just different ways of kind of dealing with the problem or dealing with the demand, but without like sort of harming the environment as well.
I think veganism also became a bit mainstream in general, because in 2020 there were dietary justice advocates that stepped up and protested against the use of dairy in the American systems of dietary guidelines. So they kind of fought on that. And I think there was a similar... what's the other thing we talked about? It's pretty similar to this. The Canadian guide last year.
Yes,
correct. Actually focused more on...
It was the school nutrition guide or whatever that... the food guide that advises on nutrition.
The food guide.
And actually said, I think they do a meat-free day every week and something to that effect, I think.
Yeah, and it was leaning more towards a plant-based diet than a more dairy, meat-heavy diet. So now, obviously, the U.S. Is not going to lean towards that very soon, but at least we can see some progress.
Yeah, some parts,
hopefully now with a better government. And no, we haven't spoken about that highlight.
I think one of the things that was interesting as well is we've seen a lot of announcements, and this has, to be fair, been going on since for a couple of years, and we saw a lot of news last year too. I think the KFC and stuff news was last year, where a lot of fast food chains are starting to kind of offer options. And it's becoming prevalent enough that it's showing up here, I think, which is probably the reason why it's something we're talking about a bit more as well. So, I mean, we had the whole Burger King fiasco. And again, we can just point you to that episode to talk about kind of our analysis of how they handled that launch. But the matter is that, you know, we have like sort of a plant-based Whopper coming out of, say, the Burger King. Papa John's last week or 2 weeks ago launched a vegan line of pizzas, and kind of, I mean, now they're kind of doing the announcements, the marketing now, but I was just browsing and it just kind of showed up in the thing, and I thought that was quite surprising, which is not, I mean, it's not crazily priced either, which I thought was interesting. I mean, today when you look at the easy to go food options, so I think pizza is one of them.
Subway
did, yeah, you're right, but Subway only did it Vegan month, like November, so they've taken it off the menu. So I don't know if it was like a testing thing, and then when they'll bring it back, but it's definitely not on the menu anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's a bit sad. Yeah, but we're seeing like a lot of, I think, fast food chains, and then we've seen more announcements, right? So I think McDonald's came out with some. There was a news a couple of weeks ago as well, saying that they were going to introduce. I think they've tied up with Beyond or Impossible. Now I'm mixing the companies up, but. But anyway, they're looking to offer things like, I think, chicken nuggets and other things that are sort of, quote-unquote, replacement or mock meats. And we've seen here, I think now just about every pizza place, I think barring Pizza Hut maybe, you know, at least the major ones offer, you know, vegan option or vegan upgrade or whatever you want to call it, which was something that was like two places like a year ago or a year and a half ago, right, which I think is quite telling. But you're starting to see even like burger places and other things are starting to kind of open it. I mean, I'm obviously just, I mean, and this is a little anecdotal because unfortunately we haven't been out much this year, so we don't get to see a lot of things. But, you know, again, just in general, you see the idea of saying, oh, I'm vegan. Okay, wait, so you can't eat this, you can't eat that kind of. I've not had to do that explanation much anymore. We're seeing more and more restaurants come out with actually dedicated vegan options. So it's not like we can veganize this, but it's also actually like, oh, this dish actually happens to be vegan. And this is our vegan offering on the menu. So that was kind of like, I think, one of those custom things that was kind of happening gradually. But it's really nice to see the fast food chains kind of step up as well, because that's the quickest. Again, it's always mass, right? It's always the quickest way to proper mainstream adoption, I think. And... So it's good to see the Papa John's and the KFCs and the McDonald's kind of step up. And I know a lot of vegans kind of feel very weird about this, and they feel like ultimately it's still going to, you know, companies that are extremely exploitative. Hello, little cat. that are extremely exploitive of animals anyway. But I mean, to me, it's ultimately it gives us a chance to talk with our wallets, which I think is very powerful.
Yeah, I agree. I've been pretty much giving a lot of my wallet money to Papa John's here.
Okay.
And ordering their vegan pizzas. There's one right by my house. There's a Domino's and a Papa John's. Vegan fast food for the win. That's the future.
Yeah, and I think that that's...
We don't need healthy vegans in our cult.
In our cult. So open admission, you know, like the vegans are accepting their cult. No, I think it's like I said, I think it's a really good thing. I'm very happy to see that. I, as you know, and we've talked about many times on the show, I'm not really a huge junk food person like Heathel is, but I still, that doesn't mean I don't like it and I don't enjoy it. And I think from an awareness perspective, I think it's fabulous, right? That that more fast food chains are doing it. I mean, if you start offering it in the food court, to me, that's like the ultimate sign of, you know, acceptance that, hey, this is an option, this is a thing people prefer, and it doesn't have to be priced out in silly ways just to cater to as a fad or a specialist diet, right? It isn't, and I think that that's really nice.
I think there was one thing that I wanted to mention is it's pretty heartbreaking because of the COVID lockdown, a lot of restaurants shut down. A lot of, the good thing was that a lot of slaughterhouses, dairy farms were losing money and were forced to close down. There was this one image that was floating around the internet where farmers had to literally throw all the excess milk that they had, right, in the dumps, like on the ground, in the river, wherever they could find it. Thereby obviously causing pollution, but it just hurt to see how those cows were treated to eventually not even have their products consumed and go to waste. So I don't know whether I'm happy about the fact that these dairy farms and slaughterhouses closed or whether I'm sad about the fact that those animals have nowhere to go. You can't just release them in the wild because they weren't meant to be wild animals in the first place.
We had this news as well, of this big farmer, I think, saying, I have to kill all my pigs now because nobody's going to buy them from me, even though I've spent all this time fattening them. For pork purposes. I think it's one of those really... This year has been a lot about churn, right? Like we have seen, moves that, would have taken years to happen have happened in significant ways in very short times. I mean, we look at things like just whatever, digital adoption or remote working, all of these trends. The F&B industry obviously has taken a lot of hit. We've been kind of seeing, actually, by the way, there has been this trend, and we talked about it, I think, when we were doing our recap last year, or was it maybe a year before, about how we're seeing the dairy industry kind of lose its annual sort of market share or revenue because of plant-based alternatives. And I think dairy is the one gets hit a bit more because it also incorporates, for example, dairy allergies and people who are allergic to dairy and can't have dairy. And so a lot of people prefer alternative or dairy-free options as opposed to meat-free options, right? So that's the industry where you see the most of it. And we've seen as well, Beyond Meat and so on having such stellar IPOs and doing and growing as a business in such massive ways, right? I mean, they're talking about branching out into other things and we're seeing a lot of this kind of news come through. And I think that this is something that this year is going to kind of cause an effect for even more. The downside is that during that transition, of course, you will have news like this, right? Where I was looking at a couple of pieces of news that were saying how the dairy industry has taken hits this year, the meat industry has taken hits this year in terms of overall sales, partly, again, because it's also, it's kind of an indirect impact of restaurants, not just because people are picking other things, but partly it's both, right? And so I think it's one of those things. It's really unfortunate. I mean, obviously you don't want to see that. This idea of killing pigs just because, well, they were supposed to go to the slaughterhouse, but the slaughterhouses don't want to buy them because now they don't have people to sell it to. It's a very messy thing. And for me, it's so telling of really where we've come, right? Where it's like, well, we've got these pigs and their entire purpose in life was to be slaughtered by us. And so we're just going to kill them. And it was just like, why was an option not to just be like, okay, let's find a, I don't know, somewhere we can release them and let them go live. You know, it's like not even in consideration. Like, so that's kind of a very, very sad thing for me.
Yeah. And close a home over here in Netherlands. They recently had to shut down all mink farms. Mm. So mink farming is pretty prevalent here in the Netherlands, in the Nordics. And it turned out that minks were quite prone to carrying this virus or a variant of it. And so they just gassed and killed thousands and thousands of minks. And like you said, right, it just shows where we've reached as humanity, how we don't even think twice before allowing such things to happen in the name of food, in the name of fashion. How we don't even see the repercussions that other beings have to go through or suffer. So it really, really breaks my heart. But I guess for any new revolutionary change to come in, there is going to be certain losses. And I'm hoping the cynical me still doesn't think that we've learned our lesson. And we won't until we have to go through even worse pandemics in the future, which I think we will if we continue going at this pace. But I want to be hopeful that, you know, this really actually changes people's perceptions and perspectives in life and makes them more responsible, just as a species, and they understand that they share the planet with other beings as well.
Yeah, it's telling, right? Like when you're talking about this sort of the mink farm story and stuff, it wasn't even debated, right? Almost at all. It was just announced. Here we go. We're going to do this. And I think it's again telling of where, how we see ourselves as a species, as you're saying. And this is true, by the way, you see that happening worldwide, right? Like all of these kind of random decisions sometimes getting taken without really any thought, which is in and of itself kind of questionable. But then imagine, like, we talk about sort of the coronavirus being this thing that is entirely, in whether directly or indirectly, depending on where you stand on that, being a human issue, ultimately. And then now that's caused an infection of minks that were being bred for fur, and now we're killing them too. And it's just like it's so many layers of convolution and so many layers of a mess, really. So
And let's not even forget about the animals that would have been tested for the vaccination trials.
I mean, that's again something that man, it's a whole different debate.
Okay. Let's end this episode with some sort of a positive highlight from you.
Well, I don't know if positive, but I came across this really interesting piece of news, actually, that I wanted to share. So there was a survey that was done in the UK that basically said that Brits prefer buying products that are labeled plant-based versus buying products that are labeled... they prefer plant-based over vegan and vegetarian. And I thought that was an interesting kind of... it just made me think a little bit, right? Like, what could be kind of the reason? I mean, they postulate a couple of things. They say that there is a negative connotation attached to, like, the vegan label, which is something that is on multiple levels. One is that it's, like, this fad thing that I don't know if I'll be able to... I don't know if this product will be around. I don't know if it'll be around for a while. Whatever could be one of the reasons. The other one is just the fact that it's, you know, it's vegan is a different thing. Plant-based sounds cooler and sounds like you're in some way cooler, but also it's also like it's the healthy thing to do. And I mean, you know, it's interesting, like, we have created this distinction many times on the show, right? Like, what is vegan is actually, it's the whole lifestyle. Plant-based is the diet ultimately, right? But a lot of people think of it as a very different thing, that vegan is this very strict thing and plant-based is this thing I can just do with my food. And I think that's, and then it's become kind of morphed as a meaning to mean like plant-based is healthier for you, which is maybe on some level kind of true, but I mean, you can eat some very, obviously we've been talking about junk food ultimately. If we say that a Papa John's is introducing a vegan pizza, ultimately that's a plant-based pizza, right? And so that can be potentially, or whatever, McDonald's fries that are plant-based are potentially as unhealthy as anything else. And then the one thing that also was pointed out, because it was a study done in the UK, that there is a there could be also a connotation that vegetarian food and also vegan food to some extent is considered to be bland and boring. So I mean, I know this is a mentality thing, right? A lot of people feel like if there's no meat in the diet, it's not going to be correct. Plant-based food has, again, this connotation of having mock options generally. So you see a plant-based mac and cheese as a thing, right? Whereas vegetarian food is like this sort of independent thing where you're just eating steamed vegetables. I don't know whether that's specifically the connotation, but I do hear that sometimes as being like a separate thing. And so that could be another reason why they feel as though they find it like as they treat it as something that is probably not going to be as tasty, but a plant-based thing is meant for me as a meat eater to have a meat-free option compared to a vegan thing. And so that's kind of where some of the reasons that I explained as to why this is the case. But the stat basically is that I think it said like more than half, so it's about 60% of consumers would rather buy plant-based, something that's labeled plant-based over a vegetarian or a vegan thing. So that's it's just an interesting, I just thought it was an interesting piece of news. It just made me think a little bit, right? Like, is this kind of like how much labeling something changes your perception of it, even though ultimately we're kind of in the same space?
Yeah, I think we've spoken a great deal about how marketing influences your shopping decisions, especially for food.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of episodes to link onto this one.
Yeah, this one where we talked about sort of the brainwashing, right?
The brainwashing. So what's been your, I know it's hard to kind of be positive about this year, but what's been your favorite vegan highlight?
Maybe favorite is a bit of a, it's a tricky word, I think. I think we had an interesting, when I look back from an episode point of view, I think the Miley Cyrus conversation was interesting. I think it just made us kind of unpack what seemed like a single statement in a way, but had so many layers to it underneath. Not that that's not true of other places, but I think for me that just in terms of doing that debate with you and kind of doing that was just really interesting, I felt, in terms of what we talked about this year. I mean, the other pieces of news were all interesting, no doubt, but for me that was kind of, when I was going through the list today, I was kind of like, actually, you know, that's the one episode that I would go back and listen to probably again, as just this interesting debate of how, because it had everything, right? It had not just the person like kind of going from vegan to non-vegan, but then also like how we had this conversation about how, you know, when you turn vegan, everybody becomes a nutritionist. When you leave veganism, suddenly you're the expert on veganism. Like, it's just this whole weird, like, convoluted thing. And then, of course, the celebrity angle and the way she did it and then sort of her justifications. Like, there were so many different things to unpack. So for me, I think that was kind of like a big or less layered piece of news that we kind of talked about. How about you?
I guess for me, it has to be the first lockdown. And I'm literally just trying to bring out some sort of a positive news out of this entire COVID situation. But I quite like the fact that we were forced to kind of sit indoors and think about what we've done. And, you know, a lot of people constantly question human existence. What would the world be if we didn't exist? And I'm quite fascinated by that. And I actually got a firsthand chance to look into it, of what really happens when there are no humans around. Obviously, we're still there, but we're not out there meddling with other beings' affairs. And I also think that this was some tiny ray of hope and light in an otherwise dark situation where people now have been able to see what it is like, what is the destruction that we are causing. Firsthand, they could actually see how the world is affected by us not being responsible and sustainable. And so the next time that this happens, like I said, I'm quite certain that this is going to happen again. I don't know in how many years, but it will. They would already know, and hopefully, if not most of them, then at least some of them are now looking at changing the way they live and learn something from this. So I think for me, that's been a highlight.
I think, I mean, yeah, I know we've also talked about the apprehension of cognitive dissonance and the fact that we do feel like people are kind of mentally moving themselves back into the old rhythms. But I think you're right that it really, I think a lot of people were not even aware, and they may have forgotten today. But they were not even aware of the kind of impact they had. And these news about, like, when you talk about the pollution indices around the world in major cities where pollution is a big issue, animals sort of roaming on the streets. Of course, we've talked about that. These kind of visuals, and you know, there were a lot of other water becoming bluer in certain parts of the world and so on, being very, very strong visuals of the kind of impact we're having. That the moment we removed us, it took like 2 weeks for all of this to kind of correct. And I think maybe that's probably, you're right, that's probably the note we should end the year on, is to remember and not forget that, you know, not only is our impact a good, it was not just about the theory, we actually got a chance to experience that taking us off the streets, quite literally, had an immediate impact on the environment, or somewhat impact on the environment in many ways. I mean, we talked about the waste thing just now and how that was delayed by one month this year. And I think if we can kind of remember that and take steps towards that, even as individuals, I think we'll start to see bigger things. We should ideally take that step, many steps further, and make our governments and our companies accountable for this thing. And I think there is some level of awareness for it, but it was, I think it was nice to just put data against it this year.
So on that note, be nice.
Yeah.
Enjoy your holidays.
Wherever you are in the world, have a safe celebration. Please follow the guidelines wherever and however
it
applies.
Keep animals on your plate during your festivities.
Yeah.
Do not burn firecrackers. And let's hope that you guys behave yourselves and we behave ourselves in 2021.
Let's just leave it at that. Sounds good. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.
Hi there, this is Chirag from Amaya Media, and we're giving away a pair of Apple's new AirPods Pro. All you have to do is take a short survey for us. We're looking to improve our shows and better understand what you, our listeners, like or perhaps don't like when it comes to podcasts. You can find a link to the survey in the show notes or visit our website, amaya.media, for more information. It won't take more than 2 minutes of your time, and we'd really appreciate it.